Welcome to All About Time with Susan Woody Galbert.
Hello, and welcome to the seventh program in our series of 10 podcasts all about time. These programs are all about herbs, those fascinating plants that remind us of times past, when people had a more intimate relationship with the seasons, the weather, and with green and growing things. My name is Susan Woody Galbert. I've been studying herbs and writing and speaking about them for over 20 years now, and I'd like to share some of my discoveries with you. In this series, we'll be learning about the often surprising ways in which herbs have been used throughout human history. I think this is important. While we live in an overcrowded, overfed, electronic space age world, some 70% of our primary medicine comes in the form of extracts of plants. And while plant breeders are genetically engineering plants and plant monocultures to feed our ever-growing world, we still have in our gardens the herbs, the very same herbs that humans have lived with for eons. I love learning about these plants and about the many ways we can use them in our gardens, our kitchens, our medicine cabinets, and our craft areas. I hope you'll want to listen to all 10 programs in this podcast series and that you'll visit our website, try some of the recipes and crafts mentioned there, and enjoy learning all about herbs. So welcome, and thank you for joining us today for our discussion of violets. Those beautiful little flowers that may be blooming in your garden right now, if it's spring where you live. You might not have thought of the violet as an herb, but it is. And it's an herb with a fascinating history that goes way back in time to the ancient Greeks. So take a few minutes to brew yourself a cup of hot tea, pull up a comfortable chair. Let's talk about violets. Almost all ancient cultures told stories about how a particular plant came into being. The Greeks loved violets, and they came up with an interesting story about the origin of the violet. According to Greek mythology, the violet was invented by the god Zeus. You see, Zeus fell in love with this beautiful young priestess named Io. This was not a good thing, though, because Zeus was already married. What's more, his wife was the goddess Hera, who was definitely not known for her forgiving nature. When Hera found out about her husband's illicit affair, she was understandably miffed. She began making threats against Io. To keep his sweetheart out of the way of his jealous wife, Zeus turned her into a white heifer. Well, how would you like to be turned into a heifer? Io wasn't very happy about it either, especially when Zeus forgot to give her anything to eat. But when she complained that she was hungry, he made up for it by creating a field of violets just for her to snack on. And while he was at it, he sent a bunch of those beautiful flowers to his wife as an apology for his wandering ways. The violets must have soothed the jealous goddess because she relented and forgave him. Forever after, the Greeks used violets as a way to calm anger and soothe troubled spirits. They considered it a symbol of love and fertility and used it in love potions. Violets aren't just pretty. They have a long history of medicinal use. In the Middle Ages, the famous herbalist Hildegard von Bingen used violet juice as the basis for a cancer salve. In the 16th century, violets were widely used to treat insomnia, epilepsy, pleurisy, and rheumatism. A couple of hundred years later, Nicholas Culpepper wrote that the plant was ruled by the planet Venus. This made it a natural as a treatment for throat ailments, since Venus also ruled the throat. A little bit of astrological herbalism there. Used externally, the leaves were made into a poultice to ease bruises and inflamed joints. And the poultice was placed on the head to ease headaches. In fact, scientists tell us that violet leaves and stems do contain a soothing mucilage, as well as salicylic acid, the precursor of aspirin. No wonder they were used to treat headaches. They're also rich in vitamins A and C, and for people who didn't have access to fresh veggies in the winter, an early spring salad of violet leaves was a very good idea. The violets themselves taste sweet, and they're often made into syrup or jelly. You may have seen them in popular cookbooks, candied or crystallized, and used to decorate pastries or cakes. You'll find several interesting recipes on my website. But there's one more use of violets that I wanted to tell you about, for it illustrates the use of plants as symbols. You see, Zeus wasn't the only philanderer who sent violets to his spouse. Napoleon Bonaparte's wife, Josephine, loved the flowers. She wore them on her wedding day. And Napoleon, who wasn't the most faithful husband on record, sent her a bouquet of purple violets every year on their anniversary. Napoleon also adopted the plant as his political emblem. When he was banished to Elba, he promised to return with the violets. While he was in exile, his followers persisted in wearing the flower as an emblem of their own loyalty, even when a law was passed against it. After Waterloo, Napoleon visited Josephine's grave, picked a few of the violets he found growing there, and kept them in a locket he wore around his neck until his own death. Because of this, the violet became an emblem for faithfulness. That is, like many other flowers and herbs, it took on this special meaning. The daisy, for example, signified innocence, while the red rose symbolized passion, and the pansy said, "You are always in my thoughts." Hawthorn meant hope, and the deadly nightshade meant falsehood. In the Victorian language of flowers, if you wanted to tell your lover that you promised to be faithful forever, you offered a bouquet of violets, or a tussie-mussy that included some violets in the center. Personally, I find this a little ironic, because, if we believe the myth, it was Zeus's faithlessness that led to the creation of the violets in the first place. And Napoleon, lover of violets, wasn't a very faithful husband. But nobody ever said that myths have to be believable or that symbols have to be consistent. And I think we have to agree that the violet is one of our most beautiful herbs. If I were Io, I would certainly have enjoyed snacking on them. And if I'd been Hera, I probably would have been charmed by that big bunch of violets from Zeus. Sweet to the sweet, then, and even to the not-so-sweet. Well, that's it for today. Be sure and join us next time for another journey into the magical world of herbs. And if you haven't read one of China Bale's herbal mysteries, do give them a try. Pleading Hearts, China's 15th mystery, uses that beautiful flower, which is also an herb, as its signature plant. Oh, and China's 16th adventure, Spanish Dagger, is due out in early April. I hope you'll look for it.
Don't forget to visit our website for any of the recipes and crafts featured in this episode. The website is www.abouttime.com. That's abouthyme.com. Music in this show is provided by the PodSafe Music Network.